In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we know that something good is already prepared for us. And we open our hearts and say, Lord, reveal that thing to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We receive the spirit of wisdom.
Amen.
We receive understanding.
Amen.
We receive insight.
Amen.
We receive knowledge.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare as follows. One, two, let's go.
I
declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of it, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Can you just turn to 3, 4, 5 people and tell the person, welcome to another time of refreshing. Remind the person you are very wise. You have made the right choice today. Even if you were forced to come, it's good you agree to be forced. You are very wise, and God's wisdom will speak for you. Bless the person. Say, God's wisdom will speak for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let's open our Bibles. That's what I've come to do, study the scriptures. So, you should read it. Of course, I don't need to tell you where we are going to read. That's what we've been reading for some time. And that's the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Now, just go on to the last portion. I'm hoping that it is likely we'll conclude this today. Let's see what happens. If we don't conclude it, then we'll finish it next time. Let's start from verse 7. I am reading from the New American Standard Bible. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens, says this. Notice that he opens a door, nobody closes it. If he shuts the door, nobody opens it. And that Lord is saying, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. He said, because you have a little power and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. That is, this door was open to you because the little you had, you were faithful in using it. He said, behold, I will curse those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not. That is, as far as the Lord was concerned, they are not, but they lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. He said, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Now you can see that there is something that people are trying to do, and that is to take your crown. He said, He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him also, he says, my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'll read the rest of it quickly. The message to the church in Laodicea goes like this. The Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, that is true riches, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And also buy eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those who I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, that's the end of the letters. That's where that is, to the churches. At the risk of repeating myself too many times, I will say it again. Peter said, I know you know these things, but I will not neglect to remind you of them. Repetition causes us to be established. It causes us to be firm in the things that we know. If you hear them again and again. All right, for that reason, I'll repeat what I've said before. Now, what am I saying? These letters are not to churches, actually. They are to everybody. And that's why I keep on saying, he who has an ear, let him hear. I believe that in divine providence, he had allowed those churches to experience those things so that we can document these corrections. Each correction to each church is for each individual. Take it, look at it, correct your life. Remember, we said that we must judge ourselves so that God will not have to do that for us. The easiest way to live is to correct yourself. The more you learn, the more you personally correct yourself, the less you suffer in life. The reason why God passes Christians through sufferings is to purify them. The reason why he passes them through trials and temptations is to make them clean, remove the things that are negative out of their lives. And the easiest way to remove those things, all right, is to just accept correction. Don't wait for experiences to teach you. If you can listen, sometimes it is hard, but try. Pray with the word. Pray until you are corrected. Psalm 119 we have been looking at. Sit that psalm and go through it line by line. Make sure you are always diligently applying the precepts of God to your life. Make sure you are always striving. Now, let me emphasize this. It's effort. It's not just I've heard the message, it is okay. I hear the message, I check my life. My life did not fully fulfill what I heard. Then I start praying until my life is totally conformed with what I heard. It's not the first time I hear that I should behave in a particular way that I will find myself easily doing that. But I put in the effort. It's important you understand this. I put in the effort until I find myself walking properly. That is the difference. I want to digress. Reverend Okemuti, I want to digress. That is the difference between a true believer and what the Bible calls a sinner. In the Jewish mentality, the person they call a sinner, you know, when Jesus will come, you say Jesus was dining with sinners. Are you getting my point? Were they not all sinners? They were all sinners, but there's a reason why they were saying these other people are sinners. This is a simple difference. I'm going to apply it to us as believers now. But for the Jews, the Pharisees that time, anybody who just rejects the laws of Moses, they called a sinner. They knew they were not perfect, but at least they, either hypocritically or truly, had respect for the law, and they were doing what they could, all right, to fulfill the law. Okay, some were Pharisees, some were Sadducees, some were scribes, but they were trying doing what they could. But some people were just blatant. On Sunday, on Sabbath day, they opened their shop. You get my point? So the other Jews, we call them sinners. Because on Sabbath day, you're not supposed to do anything. So when they had total disregard for what Moses spoke about, they called those people sinners. Now back to our, let's just apply that to Christianity now. Is it that Christians don't commit anything? They do. Christians make a lot of mistakes. Christians do things that are wrong. Christians have been known to kill people and then they die too and everybody goes to heaven. The person they killed, they themselves that killed the person, God will sort them out when they get to the other end. I'm not joking. I don't think I'm joking. Don't think that every little sin you commit, God will just throw you to hellfire. God is not looking for who to discard. Yes, sir. You must understand that. He's not looking for who to discard. That's why sometimes this issue of grace, I say we'll get to grace later. So let me not finish preaching the whole message now. That's why Christians sometimes find it hard to balance things. They find it very hard. So he tells some people, I was listening to one man who I like so much. By the time I finished listening to him yesterday, I realized that every Christian will go to hell. Every single one. Me, Akimuti is next. All of us. Our wives will follow us, you know. All of us will be roasting together in hell. By what that man preached. By what he preached to. I just realized that I'm dead. And now, you know, it's not that I realized how we used to live when I was in secondary school. The days of holiness, SU, deeper life, all those kind of things. You were afraid. One of our sisters, the day they were talking, she grew up in a deeper life home. I said, why do you leave? He said, oh God, those people tortured me. He said, it was torture. I've been there. The one that you wake up in the morning, they say, if rapture happens now, are you sure you are going? You know, you start wondering, how can I go? All the bad thoughts I thought yesterday, I've not had time to confess it. And Jesus can just come like, what? A thief in the night. I'm going all hellfire straight. One man came and said, you think you are too plenty to go to hell? The Bible says hell will enlarge his mouth. I couldn't understand how we derived that doctrine. That we were thinking that hell won't take all of us. That hell needed to enlarge his mouth. Later I realized that he read the scripture. I felt like using it, don't mind him, to come and scare all of us. One man was preaching one day. He said, it takes a little thing to go to hellfire. Ha! Waiting. So one day, that's another man, no, he preached. He said that one woman, very good Christian all her life, she went to market, she went and fought. As she left the market, she wanted to cross the road. A car knocked her down and she died. He said, do you know what happened? She went to hell. I said, oh God, God is not like that. God is a show mercy. He doesn't deal with us according to the multitude of our transgressions. You think he's just looking for who to sell to hell? He will enjoy heaven by himself. No, if that's the case, only him, he's Jesus Christ and his angels. Why did he make us in heaven? Because Adam is going to hell. Peter, James, John, all of them put together. Damn, come on. I won't even be afraid. I said, Lord, don't worry. Peter is there. He will tell me the stories of Jesus when we get to hell. All of us, you know, Peter is in heaven manning the gates. The guy is cooling his heels in hellfire too. If that's how God does it, he doesn't do it like that. The basic problem is that, see, it's, let me put it like this. The Bible says the Lord knows those who are his. Yeah, that's the truth. You look at the heart of each person, he knows those who really love him. And he knows those who are looking for security for eternity. So they give their lives to Christ, they claim, and then start continuing in sin because they say there's once saved, always saved, eternal salvation. God said, those are the kind of people I'm looking to use for firewood in hellfire. I will roast them and enjoy doing it too. Because they don't love the Lord. True believers can make their mistakes. They can sin. That is where, you see, that's where the confession is. Don't let me preach that message too much now. We'll get to it later. That's where the confession often is. When people want to talk about eternal security, all right? Once saved, always saved. They think you are saved. You know, people, Christians swing from both extremes. There's one extreme of which, literally, we're warned those days. They told us if you wore lace, you know lace? You know what they call lace? It has holes. God will catch you, send you to hellfire. Let's not talk about any wrong thought you have. If you don't forgive somebody, you have gone to hell. You are owing somebody, you are going to hell. You are born again, you are still selling cigarettes. Let me tell you, you will die and go to hell. This was what my preacher said when I was in NYC. Sat in his church that day, after 1 hour of listening to the man preach, I thought I was being drowned. So you are born again, you are still abusing your husband. Let me tell you, you will die and go to hell. The whole day spent the time telling us we will die and go to hell. No problem. After the service, the boy who invited me there said, I hope you enjoyed the message. I said, yeah. In my mind, you are not serious. You are your pastor. If I come back here, kill me and send me to hell. What kind of thing is that? In fact, the truth, by the time that pastor was done, even he was going to die and go to hell. It was clear. That's one extreme. But let me say this. Please go and read my tract. Who is going to hell? I discussed it inside there. True believers. True. The word is what? true believers, they will not go to hell. They just can't. They just can't. It's too difficult. The word is what? True. What I preach to people is that many people are false believers. And they think they are true believers. And that's why they will walk up to Jesus in the last day and say, "Did you not cast out demons in your name?" They thought they were true believers, but they were false. And James said, "How do I know a true believer? Is somebody whose faith is alive. I check his works." So we find, now, that's the issue. Some people now went to the other extreme and said, "It doesn't matter. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by grace. So no matter what we are doing, we are still saved." So they continue what they are doing, which is a sign that they don't love the Lord. But they are deceived that they are saved. That's what the problem is. It's getting the balance that's the issue. What is the balance? One, we love the Lord. We hate iniquity. You know, you want to wrestle a pig. Somebody said that, you know, if he realized that he shouldn't, some people are talking against him. He now realized that answering them is like fighting a pig in the mud. You think you are fighting. You don't know the pig is enjoying the whole thing. You are getting what I'm saying here? For Christians, that's the point I'm coming to. Believers, do they make mistakes? Do they fall into the mud? Yes, they do. But because they are not pigs, as soon as they hit the mud, what happens? They jump out. They don't say that the Lord knows we can't keep out of the mud. Mud is part of life. So they come for Bible study. I say, Reverend Okemute, why is your suit full of mud and your trousers full of mud? Pastor, please preach your message. You know we can't stay out of the mud. There's mud all around. Turn to another person. Why are you muddy like this? Being muddy is a Nigerian factor. So, Pastor, just preach your message. You know, after a while, you start wondering whether this guy is okay. So is it with any Christian that starts giving excuses for iniquity. You are getting the point?
Yes, sir.
That you can be excusing it, for me, is a sign you are not saved. That's for me, it's a sign. That is a sign. Because true salvation, you don't even want to talk about it. I didn't get my point. If that thing comes up, it's like, "Oh, God, help me." Yeah, you get my point? What do I do? I had my bus. I was coming. I washed my clothes. It was one car. That splashed the mud. You know, you are uncomfortable. I will see that you have poured water on your cloth. Try to clean up the mud. Not come in, sit down in front, wave a muddy suit on your neighbors, say, "Mud unto you." You know that kind of thing. Everybody enjoy the mud. Please, I hope you are getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
What I want to emphasize, so true believers, we are always, we're not talking about we are perfect. Every day we are taking the word and always trying. You know, our goal is perfection. Sinless, literal, sinless perfection. It's our goal. So that if we, even things that we thought were okay, the moment we hear is not pleasing to God. What? And I've done this over the last few weeks. Like somebody's been disturbing you. You answer the call. You make him a promise you know you are not planning to fulfill. So why did you do that? He might have been disturbing me. Now you now know that it is very, very, very displeasing to the Lord. Instantly you start, "Hey God, and I've been talking like that for the last 2 years. Lord, I'm sorry." Next day, you stop. Things that people even think are mundane, for you, they are very serious. Why? Your desire is to be pleasing to the Lord. That is the difference between when a Christian commits sin and when a sinner is pretending that he's born again. We'll talk about that more later. Like I said, I'm just trying to, that was a digression, trying to emphasize something again. That what he says to one, he says to all. He's saying to us individually, go through all of these things. Now, let me just point out something out again. You see, each time he will say, "To him that overcomes, I will do this. To him that overcomes, I will do this." Not to the church that overcomes. Please bear that in mind. It's not a church sin, it's an individual thing. You can be in a church where everybody is, you know, laodicic. That's a word from Laodicea. And yet you are purely Smyrnic, you know. You understand? And you are Philadelphic. Everything is good with you, but you're in a church that other people are not behaving properly. I'm just going to emphasize to us that each person must overcome. Each person must overcome. Last time I explained that many of the promises that we brag on are delivered, even though they are there for us to look up to, but they are delivered to us as a result of overcoming. Another thing I should point out again, you see, in almost all of them, this is what I've been noticing, in almost all of them, what the Lord is doing is saying, if you overcome, I will give you authority to share with me. Do you get my point here? You see the one we've read here. He said, let's just look at this last one. The one in the church in Philadelphia now. He said, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Who is a pillar? Don't forget when Paul was writing, he talked about the fact that he was not even afraid of Peter and Co., even though they were the pillars. Are you getting my point? Those are the people that held authority in the church. Those are the pillars. He said, I will make the fellow a pillar in the temple of my God. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Then if you see the one he said to the church in Laodicea also, if the man overcomes, see what he said, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He was talking about authority again. We saw the fact that those that have, who walk with him in white, all right? They are the ones he has given authority to. Before that, we saw the people that he said they will receive a white stone, which nobody knows but the fellow who has it. That is the white stone with a new name written on it. We already explained that that's also authority. That is, God is looking for, or Jesus is looking for people who will carry his authority literally on the earth. Not just because they put up their hands and supposedly gave their lives to Christ. It's because every day they are overcoming. Let me say this to us again. Every day there is something to overcome. You will see that each of these churches had different things to overcome. Now today we are looking at this church in Philadelphia. In their own situation, there was something that looked easy, but was also as important for them to overcome. What do I mean? The Lord didn't have anything to say wrong about them. If you look at that church in Philadelphia, what did he say to them? He said, I've put before you an open door. Why? You had a little power, but you used it so well in keeping my word. And you'll notice something as we go on there. That is the reason why the little energy, the first energy God gave us, is to use to keep his word. When we do that, grace flows into our lives to do greater things. Please bear that in mind. He said that you have little power. You used it very well. You kept my word. You did not deny my name. All right? And he told them things that he was going to do for them. He now said, because, verse 10, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, that is, these people were adherent to God's word. Nothing negative. He still said they had to overcome. What are they overcoming when they've already overcome everything? There was one last thing to overcome. Look at what he said. Hold fast to that which you have already. Which verse is that? Verse 11. He said, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one will take your crown from you. Now, please bear that in mind. Even when it seems that everything is okay, it's still an effort for you to retain that which is okay. You are getting my point? That is, there is something to overcome every day. And that's what Christianity is. It's an overcoming life. Which means there will be challenges. You know, God made all of us. He placed us in different places. There are those who say, okay, you grew up in Europe. You grew up in Africa, different parts of Africa. You grew up in North America. Grew up in South America. You work in this particular profession. You be a preacher. You go to that profession. You be a civil servant. And then what we do a lot of times is that we sit down and start complaining about the problems in the places where we are in. Nigerians complain and they run to America. Americans complain and run to Europe. I hope you know that's a matter of fact. Once I read that Tina Turner came to return her American passport. No. Do you hear what I said? When I was a young chap those days, Tina Turner was one of those reigning American musicians. She's 70-something now. A few years ago, she lives in Switzerland. She's married to a white Swiss man. Very rich woman. Maybe her husband is very rich, I don't know. But one day she came to return her American passport. Said, I don't tire to be an American. Yes, you wonder why. Her reason is because she had to do tax returns every year, even though she wasn't living in the U.S. And that's American law. I've gotten mails from my bank. They sent a letter out to all their customers on American law. So in case you're an American citizen living in Nigeria, please, this is what Americans want us to tell you. I said, now, wow. That includes if you have their green card, you are a legal resident, but you are not living in Nigeria. You still have to give them their tax returns every year, including money you earn in Nigeria. Oh, yes. Including the money you earn in Nigeria. You think to just be an American, I just... So that was the reason why Tina Turner got up one day. And this is, she's a very rich person, so every year I'm filing tax returns. So, well, I hereby renounce my American citizenship. I can imagine some Nigerians, I say, madam, post and come here. But they also have complaints. That's what I'm making. And sometimes they literally run. So I'm tired of living in this country, I'm moving to another country. So don't think you are the only one running. Everybody runs. There's nobody that's happy where they are. Some of the countries that are said to be the most prosperous countries have the highest suicide rates. Everything is okay, except that the people commit suicide. Those are the countries that ISIS will go to and go and recruit suicide bombers. Why? Everything is okay. People wake up in the morning, there's no problem. You don't know pothole is a blessing. It gives you purpose for 24 hours. It gives you focus. When you don't have power, when they've come to remove your wire, you know, you at least for the next 2 days, you have something to wake up to go and solve. Then when you are done with that, you settle down. You now enjoy the power for 1 week. You now realize that rain has stopped and there's no water. Purpose for another 4 days. So you go to work in the morning as you are arriving. You already wonder, how do I get water? You've called one tanker man, called one Adamawa guy to come and start digging a well. That's purpose. So sometimes some people don't have all of these things. You know, there are times I'm talking with my wife, maybe I'm complaining about something somebody is doing. She'll tell me, relax, you know your problem? I say, what? You already found what to do with your life. The other man doesn't have any, so he has to invent something. The day she told me that thing, I finally calmed down. I'm not fully calm, but... Now, what am I going to emphasize? Every day there's something to overcome. And how you are overcoming the challenges of each day, God is scoring you based on that. He's scoring that. So when people overcome their challenges by stealing, the very common one, you just go there, bypass EDC meter. It's theft. You're a thief. You don't know that. There are different kinds of challenges. There are people that just, this is a God-given assignment. They abandon it. Go somewhere else. That is their demas way of overcoming that particular challenge. I'm just emphasizing to us that, you see, there are challenges in life, each person with his own peculiar challenges. The message is that there is something to overcome every day. It's on the basis of that overcoming that we actually qualify for what God wants us to be in life. That's why James said it like this. James said, beloved, count it what?
All joy
when you fall into diverse trials. Because James understood that this is how God lifts you up. This is how God lifts you up. If things are always going the way you want it, you're not being promoted. Your office hasn't declared, you know, they've not called you for promotion interview for a long time. That's what's happening. That's everything just going the way you like it. It is not a sign that you have faith. People think it's a sign that they have faith, that everything just going perfectly. No troubles, no opposition. Before opposition arises, they've killed the opposition by fire, by fire. Before they lack money, they prophesied. They prophesied and money has come. Before anything goes on, everything just working smoothly. Listen to me, my brethren. It's a sign that there's no promotion exam in your office. Anytime there's promotion is required. When somebody has to be elevated from the post of assistant director to deputy director, there has to be an examination. The examination shows up as challenges. And let me say this, another thing to you. If you are waiting for one big trouble, you will miss it. I went to preach once, talked about what I ended up writing later in the book, titled Beyond Gifts and Talents. I talked about the fact that everybody in life will have Delilah come to them. That Delilah is not a woman. Delilah is a spirit. Delilah came to Samson as that woman, Delilah. Delilah will come to a man like David as maybe Joab's temptation. He may not realize it. Let us kill Saul. That's Delilah. And Delilah comes again and again and again. What you must understand that Delilah is not a woman, is a spirit. So that spirit can also come to a woman. And what does Delilah do? He tries to take away your crown. You see it in for that church in Philadelphia here. He tries to take away the crown. So that day, that young man asked me, of course, I was going to answer questions. What was his question? Say, how do I know my Delilah? He wrote his question. How do I know my Delilah? And my answer is still my answer today, of course, is that you don't need to know Delilah. Like until I said it now, many of us did not realize that Joab at a point in time was Delilah to David. We did not realize that Peter was Delilah to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody that wants to take away your crown. Now, Peter did not know that's what he was doing, but Satan possessed him to speak in such a manner as to derail the Lord Jesus from the purpose of the Father for his life. So he had to rebuke him, and he said, get behind me, Satan. What am I going to say? So that day I told that young man, don't worry about it. Continue to live a life of righteousness. Build up your spiritual strength, which was what I wrote in the book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. That many people, they waste their spiritual strength. So that Delilah is not the problem, actually. It's the strength that is lost, that's been weakened before that day. Because Delilah comes to everybody every day. Many times it's small things, not the big things. Many people are waiting for when they will have to resist a big temptation. They don't realize that it's the little temptations that the Lord is part of what the Lord is using. How God judges things, you really don't know. I keep on saying to Christians, when people start telling you, listen, I will say it until you believe it. I will say it until the word fills the air. And many pastors will not know why nobody is responding to them. They will now find that Banky has been preaching to these people. I will say it until people believe it. Anybody will tell you that, come and do this so you can get an immediate reward. Don't believe it. God really doesn't pay attention to those things. The widow of Zarephath gave one meal, her last meal. Today you are going to give God something that is last in your life. The money you have saved for 5 years, you are going to give to the Lord today. And by tomorrow, nothing will happen tomorrow. Believe me, nothing will happen tomorrow. Do you know why? Because one question you must always ask yourself is, did the widow go around looking for somebody to perform a miracle for her? The answer is no. It was Elijah that came looking for the widow. So the question therefore is, why did Elijah come looking for the widow? Simply because the widow had done other things before that did not include this day's giving of the last meal. She had probably given a quarter of her meal to a young man who was not a prophet. She probably had given one of the two, cover cloths that she had to a stranger who was not a prophet. And those were the things that made Elijah leave where he was to travel, come looking for the widow. So it would be wrong of me to come to church and tell people that have never given anything to anybody to do one miraculous thing. Listen, most of the times the guy preaching it is not interested in your miracle. He's interested in what he's going to gather that day. That is a fact of life. What am I emphasizing? Many times, before we are waiting to go and give our last meal to Elijah, Elijah shows up every day in different forms. That spirit is there. It's there. So they came to Jesus, when did we see you and refuse to help you? They did not know. Some said, when did we see you and we helped you? They were not aware. And he was rewarding one set and punishing another for things they did not know they did. That's one thing I want to emphasize to believers. So listen, this targeted righteousness we do is odious in the nose of the Lord, the nostrils of the Lord. He doesn't like it. What I call targeted righteousness. When I do this, I get this. If I want this, I do this one. That one doesn't work. You know why? The day the Lord is checking, you don't know. The Lord is a good examiner when it comes to continuous assessment. Yes. That is his major... Look, with the Lord, continuous assessment is 95% of the total score. Continuous assessment, no warning. He teaches, he gives you the... And that's another thing about him. He tells you, when you see this question like this, this is the answer. He always does that. Then he now says, all right. Anytime you hear X plus Y, remember it means Z. You understand what I said? Yes. You, what did I say is X plus Y? You said, huh? You don't realize you have failed. You thought he was joking. You were not paying attention. You were in class, but you had your mobile phone, smartphone under the table, and you were chatting with somebody. And he kept on saying, pay attention. Wisdom is in the streets. He's shouting. But people are there, busy, chatting away. The Lord always gives out his questions. Every time you give out the question, give you the answer. It's whether you will remember to give him the answer he asked for, or you decide the answer you think is better. That second one is half of the problem. Look, listen. Let's talk. Talking about challenges every day, there's always something to overcome. The Lord always gives his questions and gives his answers. You've heard me say this before. When they said to Solomon, the Lord came and said to Solomon, ask me for anything I'm going to do for you. Solomon asked the Lord, answered the Lord, give me wisdom. It looked like, thank God he asked for wisdom. But go and read Solomon very well. Solomon said, my father had warned me. My father had taught, I told you before, Proverbs 1-8, is Solomon remembering the things he was taught as a little boy. Bollinger believes, well, he has the Bible, the Companion Bible, that David set up his school to educate Solomon in wisdom. I think what happened was that Solomon, David, in his old age, realized that he had made a mess of child rearing. I don't need to tell you where his problem began from. When your first five sons are born by five different women, you know you have a problem. First five sons, five different women. None of the women had the chance to have two children before the other one had two sons before another one had. First five sons, five totally different women. Some of those women had girls though. So by the time he was having 10 children, you think Solomon that started many wives? David had many. He made a mess of it. The Lord helped him to realize it as an old man. When events happened and Solomon came into his life, you know the story about that. Let's not get into that. He realized that my dynasty has come to an end if I don't make it with this one. So what do we do? They told him, you have to teach this one. So that's why Bollinger believes that he organized a school. And Solomon was instructed from childhood on how to be a king. His own story was not Absalom's story, not Amnon's story. Amnon's story was chasing all the girls in town. The number of girls Amnon slept with, only God can count. Amnon, that guy was a goat. A he-goat, just for emphasis. And so David said, this must not happen with Solomon. So he was taught from the time he was young. And those were the things that he now wrote down later. Wisdom is the principal thing, was not Solomon's idea. Therefore, get wisdom. It was what David told him. What was the school of the wise men that David gathered around Solomon told him? With all that exalt her, she shall promote you. He was taught that thing. So by the time God came and said, ask me for anything that I will give you, Solomon had his answer ready. Why? The Lord had prepared the answer for him. God doesn't need intelligent people. He needs obedient people. Yeah. Don't tell me something I don't know. God doesn't want. He comes and says, okay, what do I do for you?
His own is that, okay, the things you have been taught, will you believe them or you are going to come up with your own idea? Because Solomon's son came up with that idea. When it was Rehoboam's time, what did he do? They gave him sound counsel. He threw it away. So don't think that it was not a fair deal. It was. Many people have been taught. They just reject in the time of counsel, in the time of examination. God always, believe me, he always gives out his questions and his answers long ahead. The day of the exam, he's just saying, will you agree to give me the answer that I gave you? And that's where we miss it. You see this church in Philadelphia, the Lord Jesus told them, hold fast to what you have so that people will not take it away from you. You have a crown. They want to take your crown. People want to take your crown. What happened? How did Esau lose his crown? Somebody offered him money. How did Adam and Eve lose their crown? Temptation came and they fell for it. People reject the answer of God all the time. Take somebody like Adam. The answer was clear. Eve, the answer was clear. Day of temptation, this fruit, should you eat it? No. Are you going to eat it? Yes. No, that was the test. No. What happened to Eve that they were not warned about? God said clearly, listen, he never told them. Now, notice. Let me tell you something about the Lord. Did you notice that he never told them, don't eat the sand on the ground? Did he tell them, don't eat the sand? He never told them, see these trees, eat only the fruit, leave the bark alone, don't peel the bark and chew it. I leave that one for Osha Heba later. Right now, he didn't tell them anything like that. You eat the fruit later. No, the root. He didn't tell them, I don't want anybody. No. And you know what? Adam did not eat the grass. That's the soil. He did not eat the bark of trees. You see, what are you talking about, this preacher? What I'm saying is this. By the time God said, don't eat that fruit, you know what it means? The fruit will be inviting. There was no, that it was a warning ahead. The question will come all the time. Eat me, eat me, eat me. This is the answer. No, no, no. The day you eat of it, that day you will die. The answer was clear. And that's why I always say it this way. Temptations are called temptations simply because they are tempting. Simply because they are tempting. If they were not tempting, they wouldn't be called temptations. And that's what I mean by God always gives his answers. God always gives his, there's no trouble in life that he has not taught us the answer to give. There is none. Just that problem that when the time comes, somebody like Eve will look and say, I will know, like I told you, God doesn't like intelligent people. Somebody like Adam will come and start reasoning. Eve will start with, the tree actually looks good though. You know, somebody's telling her that. It actually looks good. It might make somebody wise. Do you know the truth? God never said it will make you wise. God did not say this fruit is ugly. See this tree? This thing you are seeing here is very ugly. It doesn't look nice to the eyes. It is very, very ugly. Those things were not the points of discussion. It was just one thing. Don't eat it. And the day you eat it, you will die. Once the discussion came into it, we're becoming too intelligent. We're becoming too intelligent. And it gets to that point, that's when we start disobeying. What am I going to emphasize here? You find that in life, there are things to overcome every day. And the questions that we'll have to overcome, God has already told us ahead of time and given us the answer. When Solomon pleased God, it was not because he was so intelligent, he knew what to ask. He had been taught since he was a little child for more than 10 years. The importance of wisdom had been pumped into that little boy's head. I dare to say for more than 15 years. I don't know how old he was when he picked up the throne. But from the time he knew to know anything, before he knew anything, they were already telling him, wisdom, wisdom. His heart had been prepared. So God said, all right, what do you want? You know what some people say? Those old men are old school. You know, my father gave birth to me when he was 70. What did you expect him to think? A man must make it in this life.
Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Is that going to establish me as a king? Lord, give me warriors. Kill all those my enemies. Finish them. Lord, they will die by fire. They will somersault and scatter. Why? What are you doing with wisdom? Does wisdom put food on the table? Wisdom, wisdom. One of those men teaching us wisdom. My father pays his house rent. Could he pay with house rent? No, that's how Satan helps people to disobey. So your father said it like this, you'll do like this. The man retired, he's still going to Abuja to go and do I'm alive. Oh, some of them told me of I'm alive. Government does that periodically for pensioners. Because otherwise, some people will die, the family will be collecting their pension for the next 10 years. There are a lot of people that they died like 15 years ago. Government is still paying them pension till today. All over the world, not only Nigeria, that's how people do. So periodically, why are you laughing? Ghost workers. Okay, thank you. And those are literal ghost pensioners. You know, there's ghost worker, he never existed. A ghost pensioner is literally a ghost. So periodically, government does that. So the young man is still saying that, other one, my father is saying, if not so, they think they work. Why is he still doing that in my life? The Dangote do my life. People are showing Dangote they are alive. Listen. That is how Satan takes people away. He will sit you down and show you that with all that wisdom your father was talking about, what does he have to show for it? That's why I don't like all this. When people say that you have to show results, show results. Believe me, Christians forget results. Obey the word. If it doesn't work, die with it. It's good like that. Let them write on your grave, this man died trusting the word of God and it did not work for him. Praise God. Leave it like that. God will collect his glory. He knows when to collect his glory. Don't worry about it. He knows what he's doing. I've heard people say before, look, your church members want to see the result. You are preaching prosperity, they want to see it on you. We used to believe that those things those days. I used to believe such things. I'm looking back now and I'm ashamed of myself. I used to believe such things. And the Bible said it clearly. Paul said, we are poor, but we are making many people rich. I know we used to say ignorant things. If not so, he get power. Why is he sitting in the village? Because he knows spiritual things. He knows money is empty. That's why. For him, he's nothing. You're the fool. He knows he's nothing. And he's not willing to make the sacrifices he's demanding of you. He tells you, give me the picture of your first son or your wife. I kill them, you become rich. He doesn't want to kill his son. His being in the village is not proof that his power is not working. Go and ask the big men who have used their power. You will know their power works. And the man doesn't want what you are looking for. He has gone into the realm of the spirit. He knows everything is empty. That's why he remains in the village. And he waits for the fools from the city to come. Now, I used to believe all those things those days. If you are preaching prosperity, you got to live prosperity. Listen to me. I preach the word of God. You know Catherine Kuhlman? How many of you remember Catherine Kuhlman? People used to get Catherine Kuhlman's name. People would get healed. Her name. You see what I mean by her name? Kenneth Hagin said they had a meeting. Catherine Kuhlman was supposed to come. She could not come. So they said, you go and teach and preach because Miss Kuhlman is not coming. He began to make excuses. You know, I'm not Miss Kuhlman. People were getting healed. While he was still trying to explain that, you see, I'm a teacher of the word, though. I'm not a miracle worker. They started getting healed, getting up from wheelchairs while he was explaining that he's not Miss Kuhlman. Yet, why didn't Miss Kuhlman come to the meeting? Her heart was failing and they rushed her to hospital. Is it not crazy? The reason why Catherine Kuhlman did not show up was that her heart was failing. Or our boss prayed and prayed and prayed, nothing happened. All that happened was when she died, a glow filled the room. And she died! All those she prayed for, they were still walking around, very healed. Completely well. But she was dead. I used to believe those things, I don't believe them anymore. People say that a pipe conducting water cannot complain of thirst. Better open your mouth and drink. Otherwise, ask Gudechukwu. He repairs cars he can't afford. Is it a lie?
He's sitting down there, go and ask him. He will collect it, work on it for 2 days, return it to you, collect more money, and thank you very much for your patronage. And he'll be looking at you and say, oh, man, one day we'll reach this level. Meanwhile, so, come on, we left all those common sense Christianity behind long ago. We left those things behind long ago. We let Myron Braham raise his wife from the dead and died from the same accident. He couldn't even lift the handle. He told his son, take my hand and place it upon her. He was that wounded. His bones broken. I beg, forget common sense Christianity. It's not common sense. But that, oh, how did we get there? Oh God. So people, there are temptations every day. That's the reason why people will now forsake wisdom. Because Satan comes to them, tells them all kinds of stories. Tells them that if it was like that, where is your father Paul? Even though he has the answer, the clear answer, he will neglect the answer and go for something else. What the young boys, the friends of Rehoboam, sells, that's what he will go for. And that is why people fail their tests in life. There's no test that comes to us that God has not taught us ahead on how to handle. There is none. And what am I preaching? Every day we have tests. Victory is for the overcomer. And we are not waiting to overcome big things. Overcoming it starts from the small things. When God is checking, it's in little things like I got to the office. They said everybody be there by 8. I'm there 8:15. Sign. Will I write 8 or write 8:15? That's all. People are waiting that. Will I deny Jesus like Polycarp was asked to deny Jesus? Jesus said, can you even write the time you got to work? Can you write the time you got to? You're asking whether you will deny like Polycarp. Say, Lord, help me to stand and speak like Polycarp. That 86 years I have served him. He has never done me any wrong. Why will I please blaspheme the Lord? The Lord said, just 86 minutes, you go to work. Just write that you go home, walk to work 15 minutes late. What is all of this prayer you are shouting for when Nero or one Herod will put you in front of fiery furnace? Ordinary fiery job. We can't... You can't tell us the truth. Ordinary fiery work. You can't tell us the truth. You're waiting for when? Listen, every day. Listen, I need to emphasize this. I believe. I hear prophecies. And right now in my heart, okay, I feel strongly about it. God actually literally wants to do something great on the earth. And he's about to pour a revival. But he said, Banky, the last time I poured this revival, you know what happened to them? They all went mental. They all went crazy. One of my seniors in school, God poured revival on him. He didn't come back to school. Spiritual power. He didn't come back to school. It's not coming back to school that's the problem. It's what he now began to do. It happened. I don't want to mention names. Many of you know those people. They became what they are today because of the power that Lord poured out that time. People didn't realize that it wasn't them. Some of them thought it was a mark of their spirituality. You see a little boy put up his hand, say, in the name of Jesus, and a hall, do you understand? Full of adults. Everybody will go down under the power. They'll be struggling to get up. They won't be able to get up. Oh, it happened amongst those guys those days. Men will carry the handkerchief, throw it at you. Catch it if you can. I'm not kidding. Catch it if you can. If you reach out for it, you think you were shot with a cannon. It will drag you and throw you back. And little boys. Some of them say, we know how many hours we prayed. God said, you didn't pray. You did not pray. It's just what I'm doing in this season. You didn't pray any prayer. To carry divine authority, that's what God is looking for. Say, enough. I'm tired of joking, jokers who call themselves Christians. Who are arguing whether they are secure eternally Why are you arguing whether you are secure eternally if you are interested in working with me, like Paul, driving for stronger things? Many of those who are arguing like that, you know their problem? They don't want to depart from their sins. They don't want to depart. That's why they are preaching one rubbish grace that God never preached. They don't want to depart from their sins. Trials come every day in life. Money, needs, troubles. What are you really going after in life is what God is talking about. And he's telling the church here, all of us today now, and we're looking at all those churches. For everybody, these are the same things. Jezebel will come and present something before you that is not the Lord. And this interesting part, what Jezebel presents is always a blessing that the Lord also offers, which makes it difficult for a lot of Christians to see the difference. Jezebel presents prosperity. That's the commonest thing she presents. Success. Your church should be big. Those are the things she presents. But she does not put Christ as the center of everything. And Jesus said, forget all those other things. I add them. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Trials come in life. Trying to choke you, deny the Lord. These are the temptations of life on a daily basis. Let me say, emphasize again. Please, let's stop waiting for the big trials, the big temptations. It's in every little thing. It's everything, you know, in crossing the road, obeying traffic lights. I'm telling you the truth. In opening your mouth and telling the truth. And for those of us who are preachers, in preaching for the sake of truth and nothing more. Just preaching for the sake of truth. You're not allowed to preach so that the church can grow. No, you're not allowed to. This is a message that grows a church. That's a Jezebel's message. That attitude is Jezebelic. I've heard it before. Preach a good message so that people will give offering. That is satanic. Preach a good message so as to encourage people so they will not be discouraged. That is Satan. My job is not to encourage you. It's to tell you the truth. The word of God pulls down. It uproots, it overthrows, it destroys, it builds, it plants. It's just to tell the truth. We're not there to encourage anybody. We are there to tell the truth. Say, you know, if you don't teach it like that, people, they won't come back to church. Don't trust me, they will come back. Nobody encourages them in the mosque when they go there to go and blow themselves up. They will come back, trust me. They will come back. John the Baptist did not encourage anybody. Go and check your scriptures. The true preaching of the word of God is to warn people from the judgments to come. Now, today I decided to just, you know, read up the story of that Polycarp because I've quoted it a number of times. Just like secondhand stories are here and there. And I heard what the man actually tells the Roman, you know, proconsul, whatever that was threatening him. So you are threatening me with fire that will burn, is it for an hour? He said, do you know the fire that will burn in the judgment about to come? He was warning the other guy. He said, you think I should be scared? You should be afraid. At that time, he was 86 years old. He told the man, you be afraid. You threaten me? He said, the man who came to arrest him, he said, they were surprised that he wasn't hiding. I opened it. Oh, you guys, you have arrived. Come, sit down. Get them something to eat. Get them something to eat. They ate. They climbed the donkey. Those ones were feeling bad. That who sent us on this kind of rubbish assignment today? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that's the issue. God, the Lord is raising people up through whom he can change the world. He's raising people up through whom he can affect the environment. And if you are one that he's going to use, these are the things that he's saying to you. Rearrange your life. Take these things line by line. Make sure you correct yourself in everything. Let's just look at that church in Philadelphia. He said to them, you have a little strength. Not much, just a little strength. But with it, you kept my word. That's in verse 8. You have a little power, a little strength. And the primary thing we are giving strength for is for keeping the word of God. The primary thing is not for any other thing, but for keeping God's word. God gives you strength. He gives you a little time. The first thing we do with the time is to get hold of the word. And it says, you have not denied my name. He said, I will curse those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews, but are not, but they lie. I will make them come and bow at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Let me just say something to us briefly here. I'm going to try my best to be brief. Usually when I get here, I get stuck. Just pray for me that I will not spend too much time on it. Okay? This is a serious digression. I'm picking up from that particular verse, but I need to emphasize this to Christians so that they don't get carried away. Have you heard this joke before? That Igbo men are Jews. Have you heard that joke before? All right. Uh-huh. And I asked somebody, why do you think you are Jews? He said, they circumcised on the 8th day. I said, come to Western Nigeria, we all circumcised on the 8th day. So I guess every Yoruba man is also a Jew. All right. It works like that. But then they finished everything. I couldn't see anything to hold on to that they don't do in the West and Middle Belt and a lot of part of the North. So I guess every black man must be a Jew. I suspect that seriously. You know, Solomon, he did things those days. So I said I discussed with people a few days ago. And I had a very good laugh. Just by the way, nobody knows where anybody came from in this world again. Nobody knows. All right? But are you a Jew or you're not a Jew? But that's not even the issue. That's not the issue. The issue that irritates me about it is that why is it a big deal? Christians. That's the issue. I actually was in a church once to go and preach. And the bishop in charge of the church, he opened his mouth. And I felt like, just because I didn't know him very well, I felt like, sir, did you just say that? Somebody came to that church, was selling all these Aliyah CDs. No, I don't mean the musician, but the movement of people back to Israel, the natural Israel. So that from all over the world, people come who claim to be Jews, Israel will settle you. And they like it, you know why? They need you to fight the Arabs, so really. Once you just say you're a Jew, don't worry, just come. Because you can carry weapon, all right? These are our enemies, just mount the border, all right? And just fill up the spaces, so not a problem. And that day, so they were deceiving all those CDs. And a big man got up and said, and they should pay attention. They said, look, he said, I know where I came from. Are you getting my point? You know, Igbo man, Jew, that connection. And I started laughing to myself, sir, you're a Christian. That is so superior. I don't know where I get my point. This, it's superior, higher. It is so much higher. That Paul said, everything that was gained to me, I counted as what? Dung. That's how it is for Christianity. If you're a Christian. JB, you were arguing whether you're a Jew or you're not a Jew. You know, let me just warn some people who think that there's one thing people didn't realize. Satan and apostasy comes in different ways. For those who were following down the canal, the day you should have left him was when he took his shirt and wore his skull cap. Read the Bible. Paul said you can never be returned back to repentance if you do that. When Hebrews chapter 6 was written, it was for those who did that. It was not for fornicators and adulterers. It was for those who left the church and went back to the synagogue. That was when you should have said, bros, you they do Judaic Biafra. We are going to Wazurike's camp and we are going to be doing Biafra from that angle. We'll be going for church service while we are praying for actualization of the sovereign state. But this your Judaism cap you have worn, for us believers, it is an insult to our Lord Jesus. He kills for it. That's when if you're following, you will just give him space. Let me just say something to you about that. It is a rejection of Christ, and you know what it means. It is a rejection of Christ. Be careful about it. Christ is not the white man's export. No. The white people did not export Christ to us, which is what Fela, Bob Marley and co. tried to get us to believe. They want to give us the impression that it is a colonial mindset. No. Christianity is not colonial. You've seen it now. They have rejected it. That is why Sadhu Sundar Singh before him. And Sadhu Selvaraj, that's why they do what they do. They try to show the Indians that Christianity is not the white man's religion. It is the life of God manifested. So Sadhu Selvaraj and the man before him, Sadhu Sundar Singh, they dress like Indian gurus. You see their beards, see their saffron robes. Why? They just want you to know. Christ wears Indian costume. He's not a white man. Now, back to what I say. I want Christians to be careful because there's something we do a lot of times. The Lord is displeased with it. And as this is Israel worship that the church has gone into. If you read your whole New Testament, there was not one single point that the apostles and co. gave this kind of reverence that the church of today is giving to Israel. Jesus said it here. There is in synagogue there. He said they say they are Jews, but they are not. Why did he say that? Go and read Paul in Philippians. Paul said, this is the reason. Because we are the true circumcision who worship in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. That was why Jesus said that. He said, because when I come here, I want to see the real, true Jews. It is those who are circumcised in heart. It's those who have believed in me. Who have believed in the lordship of Jesus Christ. They are the true Jews as far as God is concerned. People tell you, you are preaching replacement theology. I don't know what that means. What I know is what the Lord said. Paul said, we are the what? True circumcision. That's why it makes me laugh. When some boys who don't even know their grandfather, they are bragging that they are Jews because Nnamdi Kanu told them like that. And I'm wondering, them, are you okay? How can a Christian, how can that matter to you? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Why should it matter to you? Those who didn't have any doubt, they walked out on it. The pause of this life walked out on it and said that is fake circumcision. And that's the Christians tell you that they brought sand from Israel. Mustard seed. Somebody can bring water for baptism. Because the water came from the Jordan. You don't ask them. The Ethiopian eunuch, which water was he used to be baptized? Did you notice that? Cornelius, how was he baptized? Did Peter drag him to Jordan? How many times in your Bible did you hear that they went to Jordan to baptize after John the Baptist? Clear scriptures, but we use confusion to be deceiving ourselves. They were going by the road. The Ethiopian eunuch said, wait, here is water. Was tossing from being baptized. Philip said this, whether you have believed or you have not believed. Sir, what is it? What do you think I've been doing while you were talking? I was believing. There are churches that go, they want to be baptized. Even they now to be baptized in the Jordan. In case you think the Holy Spirit is coming back there. The Holy Spirit stopped going to Jordan after Pentecost. Holy Spirit, now I go to upper rooms. After the upper room, they went to play in the lower room. Holy Spirit met them in the lower room. Anywhere two or three are gathered in his name, that is where he comes to. Forget this Jordanic matter. Listen, I'm just digressing slightly, but I want to emphasize it. Believers, listen to this. It is more important to be a Christian than any other thing on this earth. And if you are taking pride in anything beyond that, you are insulting the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why I laugh at those who are trying to trace their ancestry as if he gives them anything, you know, more than what the Lord Jesus could have given. Jesus is the one that is superior to everything. All right, so let's just continue reading. Now, let me just rush through that. I want to pick up this, the one of the church in Laodicea. We've talked about that many times. So we are saying again, what is it that these people are supposed to overcome? It is simple. It's holding fast to that which you have. Because the world is always trying to take it away from you. Let me just emphasize it to us again. The faith that we have in the Lord Jesus, it is simple. It is the word of God. It is the will of God. We don't need anything beyond that. And that's one thing people will try to take away from you. What God wants from us is genuine faith. Walking in righteousness. There is no doctrine that is more important than those fundamental things of Christianity. I want us to understand it. There's nothing new that is deep that's supposed to be added. It's to hold on to it. They said one day, they asked a man, an advertising agency who was running BMW's adverts. So for a long time, you know, BMW, what do they use now? I hope they see you. I read this more than 10 years ago. BMW used to be, the what do they call that thing? Is it free? That catchphrase? Eh? The slogan, thank you. All right? The slogan was what? The ultimate driving machine. That's it. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Now, Coke has had many over my life. Since I became aware of such things. The earliest I remember is Coca-Cola is it. Coca-Cola is it. Then they changed to Coca-Cola, enjoy. Then they changed to Coca-Cola,
Sharing happiness. There was one before that sharing happiness. Anyway, they kept on changing anyway until they are not sharing happiness. Tomorrow they will change to something else. So they said they asked the man running the adverts of BMW, the head of the advertising agency, say, what have we been paying you for all this while? Why have you not changed from the ultimate driving machine? All the money we have been paying you, what is it for? Said, the money you have been paying it so that I will ensure you don't change it. That my job all this while is to keep persuading you people that there is nothing better than being called the ultimate driving machine. At that time, they had used that thing for nothing less than 10 years. They had used it, I've forgotten for how long. I don't know whether I've changed it now. But the man answered the CEO of BMW that my job, why you pay this amount of money, is I'm here to ensure that this company does not change its name, its slogan from the ultimate driving machine. Because as far as it was concerned, that's the best phrase they could get. And there's no need changing it for the sake of change. Ask my wife a lot of times. That's the discussion we have at home. So I want to change this thing. I say, why? He says, it's been there for a long time. I say, so? I've been married to you for a long time. I have not changed you. You have been married to me for a long time. You have not changed me. What is it? It's been there for a long time. That I need another thing beyond this. It has been there for a long time. Is it bad? No. Is it broken? No. Is it faded? No. It's no longer working? No. So why should I change it? It has been there for a long time. I said, sweetheart, that is not good enough an excuse. What am I going to say? The church in Philadelphia, they were told, things are okay the way they are. Your doctrine is good. Make sure they don't take it away from you. How do they take it away? They always offer you something new. I want you to understand that. That's what the world does. And the one who can stand and refuse to change is the real man or woman of God. They are going to come to you one day and then flood your head with a new rave concerning prosperity. Another thing, seven mountain prophecy. All kinds of things will come. I have realized. You know, my wife said something they were discussing. She went somewhere, they were trying to plan something. He said, please, whatever plan you want to plan, please, why don't you plan around the word of God? If we know enough word of God, all these other things will be added to us. I'm trying to plan a program. He said, look, just plan a program centered around God's word. Yes. All these other things we are looking for, they will come to us. We don't need to stress ourselves for them. Listen, there was a time I told you, I was there, when church growth was the major thing. Everybody, some churches are still lost because of it till today, because they are counting numbers and opening branches. They now have branches pastored by Satan. And Satan is their regional pastor. You know, regional. I'm telling you the truth. Because the simple gospel of Jesus, they threw it away. It got boring. Something new had to be added to it. But God to that church in Philadelphia, hold on to it tight. It's an assignment. I look back sometimes, I remember some things we used to do those days. I start that habit again. There is a habit we had since I was a young believer on campus. Once in a while, you are too busy in life, you slip away, but I pull myself back. For me, that's one of the things I like everybody to emulate. It's just this addiction to that book in your hand and things around it. So that each day will not pass, you have not added something. Believe me, you do that as a habit. Many other things people are running after, those things will run after you. Let me say something. What the Lord is just looking for is somebody who is willing to walk with him even if there was nothing. This adding condition to Jesus, he doesn't like it though. He despises these adding conditions to him. I will serve you if you promise this. No, it's like give me your life and forget it then. If I like, I squeeze it, shred it, and cut it to pieces. Is that okay? If the answer is yes, then some of these things we are preaching and looking for, he adds them. He doesn't add prosperity to people that cannot let it go. I don't know what I get my point. That is, the people he wants to add material abundance to are the same people that if he says, drop all of it and walk away from it. They just take it, there was a job done, it was nice doing it, let's do another one. So that's why he doesn't want us to camp around prosperity. I don't know whether you're getting my point. No, he doesn't want anybody camping around it.
It doesn't want anybody camping around it. Sometimes, you know what? Let me tell you what's going to happen today, in today's Christianity. Just watch it. Over the next few years, you will see a reaction against this gospel of prosperity that I preached for a long time. It will also be wrong. That's the painful part. People start wearing tattered clothes again and say it's a sign. I know what I'm telling you. They'll tell you it's a sign of spirituality. Women will remove their earrings. They will remove their makeup. I'm telling you the truth. They'll start wearing sandals. You see men wearing sandals up and down. Do you know why? One day, we are all just going to get tired. And then typical human beings will swing again to the other extreme. But that's what he doesn't want. God can bless anybody with anything. He just wants the center focus of their lives to be him and nothing else. Not the things that he's adding. And what the world is trying to do all the time is to try and bring the church down to their level. That's what they're always trying to do. You see what they have done in many of these countries? They've done it very well. The pastors now, the bishops now celebrate the fact that they are now liberated. They can now conduct homosexual marriages. And the world said, good, we have done that one. What I'm going to say, the world is always trying to bring the church down to its level. And we have a responsibility to ensure that nobody takes our crown for us. Jesus promised again, like I said here, he wants to share authority with people. There will be pillars in his body. That's what he wants. And then he will put up, he said, I will write on the person that is a sign of ownership. This is mine. It's the same thing as me introducing them to the Father, like we discussed last time. Now, let me just add this one to it and we'll close with it. I mean, maybe next time I may review this, or if I can finish it today, we'll just leave it there. We've read this already. And I think I've preached so much about from this place. I've preached so much from it that I don't feel like saying so much about it. The church in Laodicea. Everything has its problems. Poverty has its problems. Prosperity has its problems. You have a church in Laodicea here. Somebody called, Olubi Johnson. He called the Lagos church the church in Laodicea. Yes. Why? Because in Nigeria of today, Lagos churches generally, they have a lot of money. That's Laodicea for you. That's what Olubi Johnson called Lagos, the church in Laodicea. That they have too much money. The day TDJs came to Nigeria, he didn't know whether he had died and gone to heaven. TDJs, he came to Nigeria. By the time Pastor Paul Adeforasin was done with giving him honor, the man, the kind of, he had only seen it with American president. He landed, of course, trust now, not with Niger. Brought him into the presidential lounge of the airport. Then he came out, saw the cars waiting. Boys with, you know, security guy waiting. Opening door and talk to them, you know, Alfa Romeo is about to move down to the guy. Look. Then we'll carry you to some of our two hotels. The guy came, said, that he confessed that he was treated like royalty. He said he had never in his life seen such treatment. Believe me, the best country in the world is where you are living in right now. We do some things, guys go see. People now have the impression that that is prosperity. Let me quickly tell you, that is not prosperity. It's not prosperity. It's not a sign that we're making progress. You know what it means? Nothing. It's not good. It's not bad. Why did I say it's not good? It's not bad. As we have blown this amount of money down south, let Pastor Corey tell you what's going up in the north. I'm not saying it is bad to have that kind of money. I'm trying to tell you that it's not a sign we have progressed. Sometimes it's a sign we are ahead is not working. One of the lies I hate to hear is ministry say that you tie to a bigger ministry to connect with the grace. That thing is satanic. Because Jesus is also in those who nobody knows. If you wanted to give to the Lord Jesus so that your life can increase, this is my own thinking. Turn around and give to those who... Listen, all the money we are using to do ministry down south, I just told you now, in that IDP camp where he goes, they meet in a corrugated iron sheet building. And you know Maiduguri is not a no-good temperature. It's the same country. So for me, I don't see it as a sign of progress. But I'm just trying to say that all this money, to me, it doesn't mean anything. Like people tell me, why is a man of God flying a private jet? I say, because he has money. He can fuel it. If you give me a private jet right now, I will swear for you. I won't bless you. See, you are very wicked. You don't want me to go for a life. Come on, go and sell the thing and let us share the money. If you sell it effectively, I give you half. Say, the Lord said I should give it to you. Say, tell the Lord, I said you should sell it. Bring half of the money. If I give Okemute one tithe, he can't preach for 1 year. He'll go mad. And you come here and say, open to Romans chapter 5. Hey! This offering was 6 months ago now. That's a joke. The Lord is good. Well, I mean, I'm not against it, but right now, I can't fuel it. God is my heart. I have nothing, zero. If you know the schedule of some of those men, you know that's the only way to be effective. That's the only way to be effective. I have nothing against it, but I'm not looking for it. We are doing our own ministry. So that's, I'm not emphasizing the fact that, look, it's not a big deal. It's nothing. It's just there. However, the church in Laodicea thought that because of that, they were rich. And Jesus looked at them and said, are you out of your mind? They were the richest of the seven churches, but they were the ones that he called the poorest. Judging by the things we have seen, of those seven churches, they were the richest. By his analysis, they were the poorest. And if Jesus tells you you are poor, if I were you, I would believe it. If Jesus tells you you are poor, you know what it means? You are really poor. All the money you are carrying up and that is monopoly money. You know the company monopoly money? It's, they just printed paper, no currency, just that's all the $100 million you have in the account, it's pure monopoly money. So when it tells you you are poor, believe it. The church in Laodicea, interestingly enough, was the one that Jesus described as the poorest of the lot. He was trying to describe their poverty. He had to use so many things to qualify it. He said, you are poor. You are wretched. You know what to be wretched? You're not just poor. You are so poor that even if they sell you, you can't pay your debt. He said, you are poor. You are wretched. He said, you are blind. You're so poor. They've taken your clothes, your debtors. They've removed everything. Say, you are naked. Yet outwardly, that was the richest church they had. I'm going to leave it here. But for us to use that one to caution ourselves. You have bought a new car, means nothing. You have built a house, has no meaning. You have a lot of cash, does not say anything about what whether you are making progress or you are not making progress. Remember, all these warnings are to individuals to take heed of, even though they were written to churches. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear. That if somebody is paying you 10 times what the other person is earning, does not mean you are well paid. It may be you are the one. You come to a place, you are one person that earns 5 million a month. And they tell Jesus, show us who earns the least here. He points to you. It's that practical. And let me tell you something. Anytime Jesus says something, eventually you will see it physically.
Yes, sir.
I mean, just simply knowing that should help you make choices. Sometimes people tell me they are relocating abroad. I have no problem with, if you want to relocate abroad, it's okay with me. What I have as a problem is why? Because if David Livingstone and Co did not relocate abroad, people won't hear the gospel. Missionaries have to relocate abroad. I hope you know that Africa is abroad from. You know, somebody must go somewhere, you know? It's why that's the issue. Let me tell you the truth there. There's nothing outside that you have seen that's real, though. Since you have seen outside, they're not real. They are not real. There's nothing outside that's real. See, all these things you're saying. You buy a new car, I hope you know it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you have money, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. In fact, some people, the day they bought that car, God realized they're not going far in life again. So for some people, I'm telling you the truth. It doesn't mean anything. You have finally built a house, says nothing about whether you have made progress or haven't made progress. No, let's get this clear. Some people are running up and down because I've heard people tell me, you know, Nigerians, Oh God, may God help us human beings. We human beings are not in Nigerians, everywhere. You know, you are running to America because you think what? Don't let material things toss you up and down. God has blessed you so much. There are little things that you have around you, don't know they are blessings. You are there complaining that I can't get America. Listen to me. I tell my classmates, my students, when I'm teaching them, I say, you are making noise about America. I say, all of you are very, very stupid. You are in College of Medicine. Federal government is paying. You are making noise. I said, try America. 9 out of 10 of you here can't make it to medical school. It's not about intelligence. It's about who will pay the fees. All of them can't in medical class. Nigeria will be charging 70,000 naira a year. And you're studying medicine. And you're abusing the country. You split your tithe in two. Half of your church, half of federal government. It sounds like a joke, but I'm not kidding. You don't realize the amount of blessing God has given you. What federal government is giving you free of charge across to the US is $12,000 a year. And don't let anybody deceive you. It is the same thing. I'm a university teacher. I am telling you, it's the same thing. My friend Emeka studied law in University of Benin the same time with me. He's today a professor of petroleum law in Thurgood Marshall School of Law, Texas Southern University. University of Benin. We were there together. I did medicine, he did law. So please, you are blessed. So don't people be deceiving you that live in a zoo. You don't live in a zoo. God has blessed you. Amen. UNN is compulsory scholarship for everybody. That is, once you enter the school, you are not paying school fees. Your father just needs to give you money to eat. That's it, sir. That is it, sir. And you know the way it is. That 70K, if you don't have it, you can raise it. Are you getting my point? You guys look, hey, I got chicks, how now? Now 70K, take your own portion. You don't take now 5. By the time you greet 14 people, apostle, money don't complete. Is that not scholarship? And it's what, forget all the lie they are telling you. It is world-class education. I am a university teacher. It is a world-class education. My friend, he's currently a visiting professor in Anguilla. All he did is Nigeria here too. What am I going to say? You are blessed. I suppose that's not our message yet, but we have to let people know. In Jesus' name, your father must not pray for money again because you want to go to school. As long as UNIZIC is there and UNN is here, with full scholarship, pray for Buhari and Osinbajo. All your problems have gone away. Well, I went into that trend and said, please, God has blessed us so much. But we get used to complaining, looking for things that are not real, things that are not true. People be raising shoulder for you that they came back with a master's from one university in America. We don't even employ them anymore. There are too many of them. Do you get my point? Listen to me. You are blessed. Somebody say amen. And when I say that, I mean it spiritually, but I also mean it materially. The church in Laodicea was making a lot of noise. Just realize that you don't realize you are poor. You are wretched. You are miserable. I jumped that other one. I told you that I'm very rich. You know that? I tried to check how much money I have. Millions of dollars on a monthly basis. Too much money. Amen. Praise God. So, Pastor Bank, you get 1 million there. Now, calculator. Michael Jackson was paying $200,000 a month to sleep. I need to drink coffee to stay awake. So, add that one down. I sleep very well. If I'm not sleeping, it's ministry. It's Chooks and Israel that gave me work. Say, we need this magazine by tomorrow. We have to go to radio in Port Harcourt tomorrow. So I stay up at night to be fiddling with computer. Otherwise, sleep is my portion. And my wife sleeps 2 times as much as me. My wife has asked me a question before. And I answered immediately. Yet, it's not. I answered the answer into somebody else's snore. He said, why are you leaving by 8 o'clock? I said, you know, the lecture starts by 8:30. What is that? That's $200,000 times two. Is that not $400,000 a month? My children are not on drugs, though. Add that one to it. I'm a blessed man. The last few days, many of our brothers here, you know what Paul said? He said, Timothy has served with me in the course of this gospel like his son serving his father. I'm blessed. They helped me, they served me. If I had to pay for their... Do you know how much money you're talking about? It's not just the labor, it's the heart. Pay for it now. Pay for honest people to be around you and be watching out for your welfare. I'm very rich. That's why you see me walking like I'm drunk. I'm feeling very happy. I am thoroughly blessed. I'm thoroughly blessed. I eat anything I like. Anything I like, anytime I want to eat it. I know how God did it. God made sure I don't have big appetite. I don't drink wine of 20,000 a bottle. I drink Coke. And you know, I have as much satisfaction from that my Coke as from the man who's drinking wine of 200. You saw that bottle I showed you, 200K, and it broke. It wasted, though. Apostle, true story. I said, that dragon you are seeing is from the bottle of wine, 200,000. Buy for Lagos. Before it reach 3 hours journey, don't break. Add that one to my words. You see why I'm a millionaire? I'm rich, amen?
Amen.
You are rich, amen?
Amen?
God has blessed you with peace of mind.
Amen.
He has no trouble around you.
Amen.
Your future is great.
Amen.
Your tomorrow is secure.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Please rise to your feet. Let's give a lot of thanks because you are rich. I mean, you are rich. Oh, did I tell you I have a loving wife? Did I mention that part to you? Did I explain to you that being a husband for me is very cheap? I don't need to buy expensive things and I don't chase women. I don't. My phone is fingerprint lock. I'm allowed 3 sets of fingerprints. 2 mine, 1 is my wife's own. Because I was tired of her. The only people I refuse to allow their fingerprint on my phone are my children. So victory will come. Ah, daddy, do like this. So my friend, wait. Carry my hand, putting it there. But I registered my wife's fingerprint on my phone. So anytime she picks the phone, she swipes her fingerprint. The phone opens. There's nothing I'm hiding there. The phone has secret compartments to hide things, all of them with the same fingerprint. So my wife can go to all this and open all of them with her fingerprint. That's peace of mind. If you put value on all of these things, you know Bill Gates is not as rich as me. And I'm not afraid I'm going to have fire, even though I tell people to fear God. Future is secure. In Christ, I'm. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Who told you I'm poor? I am not poor. I'm very rich. You can see what I'm going to say here.
Yes.
If you are rich in the house, give me an amen.
Amen.
If the Lord has blessed you, give me another amen.
Amen.
Just raise those hands and just say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. I spoke a lot towards the end of the message. But I don't know why. I'll just say, look, listen, just realize that God has blessed you. You don't need the outside things to prove to you that you are rich. Say, Lord, thank you. Just give him praise this evening. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Just thank him. Thank him because he has secured you in Christ. Thank him because he has secured you in Christ. Thank him because he has secured you in Christ Jesus. Just say, Lord, thank you. I think we'll just thank him. Just raise those hands and say, Father, thank you. Then repent of grumbling. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I grumbled. I'm sorry I grumbled. I'm sorry I looked up to other people. I thought they were better than me. I'm sorry. Father God, I realize now that you actually have blessed me. There are many things people are needing money for. I don't need them. Because you have supply, so I don't need that money. You have supply, so I don't need that money. Say, Lord, thank you. Like one of our brothers would say, money will not send me on an errand. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just for another minute, say, Lord, I dedicate myself to serving you. I dedicate myself to loving you. Not for the things you bring. You brought a lot. Just because that's my life. Say, Lord, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Our Father, we give you thanks. You are a good God.